Awesome. All right. Thank you so much. Maybe I'll just put my notes on here. Do I need to stand on the stage, or can everyone? Oh. Maybe I should get the table. You know the little table? Do you want to just pull that out so I can put my? Yeah. Sorry. It's because I've been going to the gym. I'm so strong. I rip the music. I have a habit of breaking things. So don't ever ask me to like fix something. It's just like I lay my hand on it and it breaks. Yeah. So bad, hey? Just waiting for the table. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll cue you. Well, it's awesome to be here. Is everyone excited? Like night church? Like I hate the mornings, no offense, but like I just like to sleep in the morning. But like since I've become a dad, it's just, hey, I had a sleep in today. I woke up at 6 a.m. Woohoo! So I love the nights, and I just love the nights. And I do actually want to just say thank you to the incredible team. So if you don't know, Melody and Taylor, Lockie, Josh, Rob and Nick, we've all been meeting for like the last, how long have we been meeting for?
2 years.
For the last 2 years to plan this stuff. No, I just want to say thank you because it takes a team to do something like this. So I just want to honor you guys, and can we just say thank you to them because they are the ones that have really made this possible to do a PM service. I just get to do the fun stuff like rock up and play guitar and that. But yeah, I'm so excited. It's the night time and back in, who remembers where we went in July as young adults? We went to a conference called, does anyone remember what it was called? Because I actually don't remember what it was called. Was it called New Revivalists? Yeah. So we had the privilege of going to a conference at Dayspring and they talked about this topic called revival. It was pretty cool. I felt kind of like, because I'm not really a young adult, they call me like a new adult, so that's cool. I felt like I was probably the only one in my 30s there, but whatever. It was cool. But it was awesome because Russell Evans, does anyone know who Russell Evans is? He's like the founding pastor of this movement called Planet Shakers, and Planet Shakers has just impacted like so many people like in the world. Like, I was personally impacted by Planet Shakers when I was a teenager, and they just saw like massive revival like all throughout Australia. So we got to hear him talk, and he talked, about revival. So tonight's message is actually, I've named it Radical Revival. And I just want to explore tonight, what if it is revival? Like, we just, like, toss that term out. Like, how do we experience it, and what does it actually look like in our lives? And before we jump in and just get into that, I do want to just share a joke, because it's always fun. Kind of breaks the ice a little bit. Everyone's like, boo already. Okay, here we go. You ready for it? Hold on to your seat. As the storm raged, the captain realized his ship was sinking fast. He called out, "Anyone here know how to pray?" One man stepped forward. "Hey, captain, I know how to pray." "Good," said the captain. "You pray while the rest of us put on our life jackets. We're one short." It's so bad, yeah. Here's another joke for the musicians. What's the most holy chord? Jesus. Okay, so moving along, let's talk about revival. So what is revival? Does anyone watch TV?
Yeah.
We don't actually really watch TV, but like we watch Netflix and stuff. But there's this show called Bondi Rescue. Everybody knows that. We're like, Bondi's just like 2 minutes down the road or whatever, more like 15. But has anyone seen like somebody get revived? Like, I remember watching this episode. I don't know, or maybe I just saw it, or maybe it was in my first aid course or whatever, but they showed this footage of, God bless the Asians. I can say that. I'm half Asian. But I think it was a Korean student or whatever, and he came down to go for a swim at Bondi Beach, and maybe he didn't realize like how hard it was to swim, And he ended up like getting caught in the current and then he drowned. And then like they had to pull him out and like, it was crazy. Like they pull him out and like the lifeguards just like bolt down like with, it's like Baywatch or something, like they bring down their boards and it's just like, it was just crazy. They bring him down and they put him on the ground and then they just got everyone to back off and then they started CPR and started to revive him. And then eventually, like, you see him, like, come back to life, and he's just like, oh! And then he just, like, vomits, like, all this stuff out. It was pretty wild. Anyway, I was like, whoa! But that's, like, revival. Yeah. But revival is being awakened to the things of God. Like, the spiritual eyes of our hearts are opened. And I love, and that's what it says in Ephesians 1:18. And if anyone was here for Peter McHugh, but he really explored that about, you know, what it means to have the eyes of our hearts opened. And revival is having our spiritual eyes opened. And it's just having our eyes open to Jesus, right? And I think revival is actually living in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's being aware of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And revival, I think, is becoming actually more alive and more in love with Jesus. And I was just, you know, reading my Bible and I came across Philippians 3:8-11. I just want to read it. It says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. How cool is that? Nothing compares to knowing Christ. So, just go with me here, but I've got another question for us. Does anyone scroll through social media? Yeah, we all scroll. Like, nobody scrolls, I scroll. Anyway, I don't know why, but when I scroll, I just get, like, smashed with ads about, do this workout to get bigger biceps! Or, like, it's all lies, because, like, they're on steroids, obviously. Like, you don't get biceps like that in, like, 2 weeks. Like, that takes, like, you know, years. But why am I saying this? Because none of that even matters. Like, why does that even matter? Like nothing compares to the infinite value of knowing Jesus, right? But sometimes I can fall into this trap of thinking, like, especially as I scroll, oh, if I only had that, or if I only had this, then I would be happy. If I only had a house, oh, Jesus, I would love to have a house in Sydney. If I only had a house in Sydney, then I would be happy. If I only had, like, a promotion in my career, then I would be happy. I mean, that would be good. I'd like a promotion. I don't know where to go from here, really. But even things like, when I get married, then I'll be happy. When I have kids, maybe then I'll be happy. No, just to really test it out, marriage. But, and I'm not saying I'm against those things. Those things are good. And they're really good things. And, you know, definitely when you get bigger biceps, that's awesome. You know, when you get married, that's pretty awesome. Sex, I said it. That's awesome. Wow, tough crowd. Okay. But nothing compares to the infinite value of knowing Jesus. And Paul, the guy who wrote this, he was like the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was an incredible teacher of the law and he grew up like knowing everything about the Bible and like just knowing the law and all of that. And he's saying, well, that's worthless in comparison to knowing the infinite nothing compares to the infinite value of knowing Jesus. And I think if we want to see revival in our lives, then our relationship with Christ needs to be the most important thing. To know God should be our ultimate goal. And yeah, again, nothing compares to knowing Him. And I want to share like part of my story. I know many of you have heard it. Yep. She's like, yep. Hurry up. No. But part of my story is I was radically saved when I was 14. I was really lost and broken, and I come from the most unlikely place, a small town called Mundaring. Can anyone say that? Mundaring. Yeah, it's like a very small town in Western Australia. And I can always one-up people when people are like, yeah, back in my day, I used to smoke marijuana. Well, you know what? I was born addicted to heroin. Yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Anyway, sorry. It's just I can laugh about it because God has, like, I'm a walking, living miracle. But I grew up in a very dysfunctional home and, you know, it was pretty crazy, like, being born addicted to heroin. Like, my parents obviously got busted and ended up in prison. And grew up in a foster home that I moved in with my dad, who was a single dad working, like, 10 jobs trying to raise a family. And I never had a relationship with my mum. I was just in a highly dysfunctional and seriously broken place. And I don't have time to go into the full details tonight, but if you would like to hear more of my story, I would love to get a coffee sometime. I am just an open book. I'd love to hear your story as well. A teacher just planted a seed in my life for Jesus. He said, you know, if you're ever in trouble, you can always cry out to Jesus. And I just thought, oh, well, that's a load of rubbish. Like, whatever. I did that. I remembered what he said, and I remember, like, hitting my lowest point in life. Like, I was, you know, crying out to Jesus, and I actually asked him, like, if you're real, Jesus, show me that you're real. And then the next day I got a phone call from a friend who called me up and was like, hey, you should come to this thing called youth group. And I was like, no, youth group sucks. Like, I hate Christians. I was like, soul, but I didn't kill anyone. But anyway, I felt like God actually led me and the Holy Spirit said, no, go. And so I ended up going, and it was a really awkward experience because it was like in a super Pentecostal church and they were like, shut up, like praying all weird stuff. But anyway, I walked in and it was just like this immense presence of God in the room, like this incredible peace, this incredible love. And nothing else mattered. Like, it was just, I can't even explain it to you. It's just something I experienced, like this intense, just love, like all this stuff just, I felt weightless in the room, and it was like God was there, like, just embracing me. And Jesus came into my heart that night, and I surrendered my life and decided to become a follower of Jesus. And that was 18 years ago. Isn't that pretty crazy? And here I am now, standing by the grace of God. I'm married to, in my opinion, the most beautiful and wonderful lady, Raina. Hot chick on the planet, yet. And we have an incredible daughter. And I get to do the most incredible job, all by the grace of God. But I say that to say that Jesus totally revived my soul. I was literally dead. Like, I was literally, like, not living a great life. Like, could have died any moment. And Jesus revived my soul. He brought me back to life. And for me, I know, like, nothing compares to the infinite value of knowing Jesus. Nothing. So I'm going to cry. I don't know why I'm crying. But how do we experience it? Okay. How do we experience revival? I think it comes down for me, passion, hunger, having, like, not losing the wow factor of God. And I think community as well. And I just want to say that I think it's actually true that over time we can actually become familiar in our relationships. We can lose kind of the awe or the wow factor of God. Like, I just remember, like, when I first became a Christian, everything was just like, oh my gosh, Jesus loves people, wow. And then, like, as I've progressed on, like 18 years, I'm like, oh yeah, Jesus loves me, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, that's pretty cool. We can sometimes lose the awe factor and the wow factor. And I really believe that we actually, to experience revival, we need to be filling good things into our soul. And there's this saying that you become actually who you hang out with. And I think that's kind of true, or we become what we eat. Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I mean, who knows it's true? Like, if I went to Macca's every day and bought, like, I love getting double quarter pounders. That was so good and greasy. But who knows that if I did that every day, I'd become a hamburger. I wouldn't become a hamburger, but I'd have some serious health issues probably down the track. You know, like my heart would probably just be so greasy. But I say that to say that when we think about our relationship with Jesus, we need to feel that hunger. I need to actually get my spiritual nutrients from somewhere, right? And that's why I think it's so important to, I don't have my Bible. Where's my Bible? I don't even know. But it's so important to read, like, the Bible. thank you, Raina. You know, to ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation about the scriptures, to memorize some verses, it's adding fuel to the fire. And, you know, every day me and Raina, we get to, you know, we do this thing now where we go to the gym. I love it. But for us, that's like our holy place because we actually listen to the Bible. And like, we've just started like the Bible in a year. It's probably going to take me like 5 years, but it's awesome because it's satisfying our spiritual hunger, right? And, you know, doing courses like, has everyone done Spiritual Awakening? Like, yeah, I encourage you to do Spiritual Awakening. It is just awesome. It's like spiritual nutrients to your soul. And I think, yeah, then there's other moments that I think it's important to take time through the day, like where you just find time to breathe, relax, and be still before the Lord. I need to do this more because sometimes my days are just like crazy. I just want to say that it's really important that we spend time hanging out regularly with Jesus. And, you know, and I think it's true that everybody has a spiritual hunger, and I think we tend to fill it with all kinds of different stuff. And I'm pretty guilty of this. Like, I spend way too much time just scrolling. Like, I could spend that time like praying, and it would be so much better for me. Another fuel that I think adds to the fire of revival is this thing called passion. Can everyone say passion? Yep. So, man. Does everyone know like the word first love? Like when you first fall in love with someone? Like when I first fell in love with Raina, I was just like passionately pursuing her. I was like, hey, you want to like come and hang out? Like, I'd drive halfway across Sydney so I could be with Raina. I'd bring her flowers every day, every time. Where are they now? Yeah, she's asking, where are they now? I'd bring chocolates. But I was passionately in love with her. I still am. But what? But just thinking back to my own life as well, like when I first met Jesus, oh my gosh. Like, I was a fireball. Like, people were just like, they asked me like, what happened to you, man? Like, they just were like, what? And I'd be like, Jesus! He changed my life! He can change your life! Come on! Let me lead you in a prayer of repentance! Get saved right now! I was just a loose fire cannon, like, to everyone I met, like, the KFC lady, like, the McDonald's, I was crazy. I was the annoying person. I was just like, so passionate and hungry. I was like the annoying person, like prayer meeting. Yeah, I'm there. Bible study. Yeah. Like, I just wanted to go to everything because I just had such a passion and a hunger to like know more about Jesus. And it got so crazy that like a mini revival actually started to just break out in our school, right? We were just wild. We didn't know what the heck we were doing. We were like, yeah, let's start a prayer meeting in school. What could go wrong? So we prayed. We were just like really into the spiritual gifts. So I don't know if we were really praying in tongues or just faking it, but we were just like, shut up, like just going crazy. And we'd like cast demons out of like people we thought had demons that probably didn't have demons, but we were just passionate, just like going for it. It's like, demons, come out. But it got so wild and so rowdy that like, we used to like miss the school siren going off. that like the principal actually had to call us into his office and be like, look, this has to stop. You guys need to like settle down. Like settle, and this was a Christian school too. I was like, whoa, what do you mean settle down? Like, anyway, but how funny is that? Like this crazy, like mini revival kind of just happened, but I was a firebomb just ready to explode. And that was like my first love for Jesus. Like I was just like unafraid, just like would proclaim his name everywhere. And you know, I want to be real, like, cause I've been following Jesus a while now, like 18 years. And I think there have been times where my passion for Jesus has gotten pretty low. Almost like falling off, or what people would call backsliding. You know, I carried a lot of offense, a lot of hurt from stuff that happened to me in church life. And yeah, it's definitely true that there's been a time in my life where Jesus has actually taken more of a back seat. I was like, yeah, whatever, Jesus, like you're on the back seat, I'm all good, like just, you know, I knew where God was calling me, like I knew there was a sense that God was calling me into ministry, and I would just keep being like, nah, it's all good, like whatever. And it got so bad that I spent like 3 years like pursuing music, like doing my music degree, and you know, God was just shutting doors, like he knew where he wanted me. But there was a time even when I fell back into like depression. You know, I still went to church. I wasn't excited about church, I can tell you that. And it was almost like a burden to go to church. I don't feel that way now, just clarifying. Like, I love Grace Point. This is like awesome. This is home. But it was like I was out of love with Jesus, and I got lost in the doing instead of being lost in the being, instead of being wowed by like, yeah. And so that's just a sobering question I've been asking myself. Like, am I actually more in love with Jesus right now, more than I have ever been? And like right now I can actually say, yeah, I am. I'm actually really passionate to know Jesus more every day. So I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, passion and excitement. So we should be passionate and excited about God in our life. Every morning we wake up, do we live in the, like, oh my gosh, think about it. God, the creator of the universe, lives in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm his temple. Holy Spirit, what would you do through me today? How would you lead me today? Are we passionate and excited for prayer meetings? Man, I want to be more passionate and excited for prayer meetings. I think sometimes we're like, oh yeah, prayer meeting, yeah. Like, we should be on fire and like passionate. Are we passionate and excited about worship? I don't know, you guys are pretty passionate and excited tonight. It's pretty awesome. Are we passionate and excited to love each other? You know? Are we passionate and excited for church? Oh my gosh. Sunday night church. I'm so excited and passionate about it. Come on. But for whatever reason, I think we can actually be a little bit contained. And I'm not trying to be like some kind of, yeah, yeah, like hype man. But come on, it's true though. Like when we watch the football, we're just like, woo! Like we just go wild, and then we come like to church and we're like, when's the food on? Like, I don't know. I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I'm like that. But I'm just trying to stir some passion, you know, like an excitement for Jesus. And I just really feel in myself like the Holy Spirit's actually really shifting that in me lately. Because sometimes I can be like, oh yeah, I know I've got to go to prayer. But I want to be excited to like go to prayer meetings. Because prayer is powerful. It changes things. And it's like, it's really powerful. Anyway, and the last thing I just want to say is like, before I have a little illustration, but the last thing I want to say is revival, I think, is also found in community. Revival for me equals community in unity. I think, yeah, community is just a big part of revival. And Rob stole my scripture for tonight because he already said it this morning, but this is in my notes. It says, before the first, well, but you know, in Acts chapter 1:14, before the first revival, before the day of Pentecost, it says they all constantly united in prayer. They met together. There was this unity amongst the believers. Acts 2:42, I don't know if I'll read the whole thing, but it says, no, they worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes, they shared meals, they prayed together, they had fellowship together, they had a deep sense of awe. So it was community. It was just the community of believers. They were together in unity. So I think to experience revival, we need community. That's why we have like Friday nights, we have Thursday nights, we have life groups running, because we want to, it's community. So, I just want to, so I say all that, and I just want to kind of move into a little illustration here. So if I can get, I don't know, I've just got a few like jugs, I've got a few props back there. Got my hot sauce. I'm sorry, youth have already seen this, but like this is, I think this is just a really powerful illustration. Yeah, you can just put them on the. I'm not going to make anyone eat something if that's what you're thinking. Like 20 bucks to eat? No, I'm kidding. Oh, cool, a whole table. Another table. All right. Well, I just wanted to kind of give us a bit of a picture of, I guess, like what our lives kind of, I should really use the bucket because it would get really messy, hey? So, this is kind of us, like, well, this was definitely me when I came to Jesus, like, there was nothing really left in me. And I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I was so lost. I just had nothing. Anyway, I gave my life to Christ and I was just like, yeah, like filled up. Like it was more like this. It was more like, just like overflowing. Just like everywhere I go, it was just like, Jesus is awesome. And, tasted pretty good too. It's organic water. No, I don't know what it is. But you know, that was me, my experience, like when I came to Christ. And as I, you know, journeyed through my life, and maybe Jesus took a bit of a back seat for me, and someone said my biceps were small or something. I don't know. I'm just making this up. And I was just like, I allowed like a bit of salt just to get into my life. You know, got a bit salty about that. My biceps are huge, man. A bit of unforgiveness, resentment, like all of that stuff. I'm kind of still going to church every Sunday. Still a bit salty. And, you know, like driving on the roads in Sydney, far out. I just get so angry. Ask Raina, like she knows she has to drive with me. I hope it's not because of me you don't want to drive. Maybe it is. I'm such an angry driver. But, you know, I just get angry. All the time. Oh! That silly kid in Fortnite. Oh! Just want to win. Makes me angry. It's all good. I'm still coming to church, you know. Just a little bit of a top up. Yeah, cool. Got my top up on Sunday. All good. You know, you just... I think this is like an off Mandarin. Just, ooh, what is that? think I'm just going to squeeze it in here. Just got sourness. Hey? I just taste sour. Like, oh yeah. $20 to drink this drink, eh? No. You know, this sourness in my life is, I just taste sour because of all the bitterness and all the, I'm still going to church, so I get topped up, all good. This, I don't know, has this been done before? Opening a beer in church? Smells really good. I don't drink beer anymore. This is pale ale. Pretty good. But this represents all the dark stuff that you don't want to talk about. Maybe it's like pornography. It's just like, oh yep. For me I was a secret gamer, addicted to gaming. That just made me really angry and bitter and just, up to stupid hours of the morning. And, you know, just all that dirty secret stuff that just you don't want anyone to know about, trust me. And then, yeah, it's okay though. I'm just get my top off of church. It's fine. Come on Sundays, you know. Our lives can start to look a bit like this, and then we can be like, hey, I'm ready to go preach the gospel. Hey, you want to meet Jesus? So for me, revival is actually constantly living in that place of overflow. And I'm just starting to experience this more and more. This definitely wasn't me like 2 or 3 years ago. I was looking like this, if I'm honest. And revival for me is actually, yeah, living in the overflow of the Holy Spirit. Go to church. That's awesome. That's a small kind of it's a massive part of who we are, and you know, but I think it's also like, okay, I'm going to actually spend some time reading the Word, meditating on the Scriptures. I'm going to actually spend some time in prayer. I'm going to actually spend some time worshiping, being in the presence of the Lord. Oh. I'm going to spend some more time worshipping. I need it. I'm going to spend some more time praying. I'm going to spend more time at church. I'm going to spend more time in community. I'm going to keep going. Just going to keep going to church. Just keep loving Jesus. Keep loving my brothers and sisters in the family. Turn the other cheek, you know, like, just, worship, more praise, more prayer. Going to read the Psalms today. I'm having a bad day. I'm just going to read the Psalms. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And you just start living in the overflow, and you just, Holy Spirit. And I think that, for me, is a picture of revival in my life. Like when I start to live in that place, like I just pour out, like the Holy Spirit's just overflowing. It's just touching everyone, like I'm needing. It's just coming out of me. It's overflow. Tastes pretty good now. Tastes like water. Clean. But but that's just an illustration of, I think, sometimes, like, what our lives can start to look like. And I think it's just so important for us, if we want to experience revival, to actually live in that place of overflow. And that comes from, like, you know, worship, prayer, being in the Word, community, coming to young adults on Thursday, youth on Friday, coming to church on Sunday, coming to the double service. Woo! Yeah, so I just wanted to leave us with that illustration, and I actually just want to move into a time of prayer. So if the band could come. I know we said food at 7:30, we'll get there. But this, I think this is really important though. Hands are wet. Hey? Oh, thank you. I cleaned my hands. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.